Welcome, dear listeners and fellow K-drama lovers, to your favorite critical K-drama podcast, the K-drama Feuilleton podcast, with me, Maksu, and my lovely co-host, Sally. In this episode, we are discussing the 2018-19 K-drama classic Sky Castle. It was one of our early recordings from last year, but we just edited it now, and it will actually be featured in two episodes, with the second episode in 2 weeks. Interestingly enough, recent discussions in Korean politics and media focus on the education sector once again, as one politician bribed professors to help his child publish an academic paper that would get her into a good university. One journalist is even using Sky Castle as a reference, so you can see the big impact this drama had. In our analysis, we focus on the different characters in the castle and the education system in Korea, but also more in general. Delve into the fascinating world of Sky Castle with us. Enjoy, everyone. Okay, welcome to our episode on Sky Castle today. Sky Castle is a drama, quite popular drama, actually one of the highest viewers in Korean drama, his recent ever? Drama history.
Oh my god, I and, didn't know that.
It was running from 2018 to 2019, early 2019 in JTBC, one of the private channels in Korea, which is regarded as rather left-wing, but
really
we can discuss about that later.
That's so interesting.
Well, but I don't know if that reflects on the dramas or anything, but yeah. And the drama is about four families living in a secluded area in the outskirts of Seoul called Sky Castle, which is owned by the hospital, apparently. And also the people living there are working for the hospital or kind of affiliated with the university somehow, professors at the hospital or university. Yeah. And they get the right to live there, apparently from the hospital. Well, we don't know about that. They are called the 0.1% of Korean society. Well, I would not really agree to that, but at least like higher upper class of people. Basically, how they raise their children and compete in the university entrance exams, all this private education is the main topic.
Yeah. I found it also quite striking, this as you just said, competition. It was, for me, it was all about competition, and mainly actually it was not the competition directly between the children necessarily, but it was more about competition really between the parents and especially the mothers, really used or were forced to take on this battle for their children, and like who's the smartest and like who's gonna get into this med school, this prestigious
right
for the first
well
time.
We have three generations, actually: the grandparents, parents, and then children generation, and then they all have different goals. But yeah, I mean, the grandparents, it started kind of with the grandparents generation, who said like, we want this third generation doctor's family, and
then so brutal.
The son had to become a doctor, and then the grandchild, so yes, or the one child has to become doctor as well. And
yeah, they always say this kind of thing, oh yeah, but you're gonna thank me later, blah blah blah. And you're like, clearly not. I mean, you're kind of wrecking your child emotionally, traumatizing your child, and you think they're gonna thank you later for forcing them to do study what you want them to do. It's really weird, this idea of good parenting as abusing your children into complete submission and, I don't know, torture.
Yeah, and that the only value of the child is also their results in school or level of education, which school you go to. And I think this is an important characteristic of Korean society, and I was wondering how you regard this issue on Korean education system and then also the society.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously the cliche you hear is like, anyways, in Asia, like Japan as well, Korea and China, like I guess in the Eurocentric worldview, there's like a lot of stereotypes of the super smart, hardworking, constantly like studying Asian child. I don't know.
Also with their tiger moms.
Exactly, with the tiger moms pushing them and like supporting them.
So-called tiger moms. Yeah.
And so on. And obviously also the suicides is also one of those.
Right, yeah. The high suicide
rate.
That
people might know about, that, you know, oh, they have to study so hard that they actually commit suicide and stuff. So I guess that's like as far as the kind of stereotypes go. But I thought the drama kind of put it to a whole other level. And I don't think actually that in our society its themes are still there, but they're maybe not as extreme. So
I think the drama is also a bit extreme in the families they choose to portray. So not the normal family in Korea looks like that, but a lot of middle class and upper class families, probably. So,
but what I wanted to say is also that although I might not have, you know, seen like the same amount of stuff when I went to school, but the overriding themes and the underlying structures, I guess, are still the same. Because, you know, we're talking about things such as, I mean, classism, obviously, like also like kind of, you know, high class.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Upper class
yeah.
parents having a lot of money and putting a lot of support on
private
their
schools,
children,
private
schools,
education,
tutoring.
We have
all
the
these
same
things.
Here yeah, in Europe or in the US as well. Yeah.
And that really wrecks also this whole ideal that is there about education as the great equalizer, which many studies have shown it is not. It is often a very handy excuse for capitalists, whatever you want to call them.
Well,
to say,
if you have money, you can afford this good education for the children. And then especially here, we can see it in this coordinator that they hire.
Exactly.
Which costs apparently
billions.
One apartment in Korean, one house, basically, something like that.
Yeah.
And that is just for one child. Basically.
Yeah, this is extreme. And then also kind of seeing your child as this, almost like you said earlier, like this kind of robot that only has to work perfectly and is drilled to get the perfect results. And in the end, you don't actually care that much anymore about how you get there. It's just about reaching that goal. And then, if you also look at that coordinator, I mean, that was like 20 people working on that one child, getting like the best grades, and everything was, you know, researched and like based on her emotional
it's
level
an
and
extreme
everything was used, you know,
portray of the Taejitung, this study, this private academy area in Seoul, which is also named the same in the drama. And I mean, they have the Hakwons, the private academies with teachers there, where they go after school to cram or like study really long hours. I mean, that's a very different system, I think, from Europe. Right? And I mean, we had our afternoons or evenings free mostly and could do what we want or do some extra curricular stuff like music or sports or something. But Korean children from a very early age, we can also see that in the drama, go to these private schools for math or stuff like that. Not for fun.
Yeah. I think the only tutoring I've ever got was in math.
Me too later.
But it was, you know, it was like an individual old lady who was good at, you know, retired math teacher. Before my Abitur.
There was no whole system around.
No,
there was not. With a plan for studying for the whole day and the whole vacation and stuff.
No, definitely not. No. Yeah. And yeah, and then at some point I also stopped going to her as well. It's just...
What is interesting about it, though, that this drama shows not the preparation for the national entrance exam, but for separate extracurricular with these like mix of extracurricular activities and then some, and this has increased recently in the Korean education system as well, that not this general exam like Abitur in Germany or A-levels or whatever exam is important, but these extracurricular and grades from your, or like some math Olympiad or something.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that really also reminded me of dramas I have watched where it was about the American Ivy League system and like trying to get American children into the overachieving, like high
schools. Yeah, they do a lot of extracurricular activities and stuff as well.
Yeah, so like... it's not enough to just be perfect and have perfect grades. No, you also already have to have, you know, like volunteering and like
work in the hospital.
Work with homeless people. You know, it's like ticking boxes, basically.
Interestingly, there was a scandal in Korea a few years back. I mean, I guess it was after the drama appeared, though, where one high-ranking politician in Korea had hired some people for his daughter to compose some kind of paper that was also published, and then, so that she could get into the university she wanted. That was a quite, I mean, obviously corruption is a big problem in Korea too, but then connected to this education stress and system,
Oh yeah, and the other thing I also wrote down is this, it's again like this highly individualistic in a way, like this, so we are introduced to Yeso, who's the daughter of Han Soo-jin, and she's like this already, she's introduced as this like perfect student who almost always gets perfect grades, who has this amazing relationship with her mother. They're really close. They kind of work as a team almost.
Well, I didn't introduce it like that, but she is also called the princess and the mother, and where they live in the castle. So that's also a funny metaphor, actually.
It's quite funny. Yeah,
she is kind of the princess of the family. So
princess. And I mean, she is one nasty little brat. I mean, honestly.
Yes.
Again, here, I guess we have very much like exaggeration, probably, and like of this character. It's like, you know, super selfish and just like highly competitive, highly goal oriented.
Very much focused on grades
exclusively. Yeah. And and I think it's really interesting. Or the show also, like, at several points mentions good genes and like great genetics, which is.
But it is later proven wrong, kind of, no?
I know, which is good. But like, like this whole idea of, we have great genes, so we have to be smart and we have to look great. And so we are third generation doctors, so we have, why we're also smart. And then, later she finds out she's actually, her mother's not pretending.
Educated family,
And that really messed with her identity, and it anyways came at a crisis point in that story.
But rather than the genes, I would say that they try to maintain their wealth, and even though they are already wealthy in a sense, they want their children to have the same amount of wealth in their lives, so they force this like third generation doctor on them.
No, I mean,
but then
it
they
just
could
really,
also become professors or something.
It just really reminded me of, well, quite, you know, problematic stuff that's attached to this whole idea of superb genes and eugenics, basically, the Third Reich, and like having these, like producing these superhumans. And I mean, then in the,
oh,
the book
okay.
club,
yeah,
they
that's...
even in the book club, they even discuss a book that's called The Selfish Gene, and then she. He so stands up and saying, well, I'm so proud to be selfish and I'm so happy that I'm so goal-oriented and so smart because I have such great genes. And it's kind of, I don't know, at least it struck me because it was mentioned a few times,
this kind of thing,
which obviously later is exposed as being, well, not true anyways, and also very harmful at that, obviously, because puts pressure on people. And then also it kind of makes you think in a kind of value system, right? So you have bad genes, so you can't be good, and I have good genes, so I'm better than you. And which I think was also very extreme then in her conflict with Hena.
When Hena appeared, she at first, they don't know that they are blood related, so she is not really seen in that like good genes ideology. But they always, especially the coordinator, compares her to, like, they compare their backgrounds. And then she says, Hena grew up in this very poor environment, took care of her family, like, mother, and did
her
all that stuff,
mother.
But still is better than you. And that was a quite convincing argument of the coordinator for me, because even though they are in these private schools, I mean, all the children are from good backgrounds and have very many resources. And to get this private education, then how can you actually compare? So Hena is kind of
the anti.
Yeah.
The anti Jesus.
Right.
Right.
There are some statistics in Korea that if you live in a certain area, like a wealthier part of Seoul, your chances to go to a better school, in this case Seoul National University, is so many percent higher. This is all connected basically to the resources or funds that the parents have for your education.
This is also like in line with a lot of other studies that basically show that education itself is not actually such a great variable in social mobility. And that it doesn't matter what, you know, when you're from a working class background and you have a university degree, it doesn't mean that automatically you'll then, you know, move up on the social ladder. Mm-hmm. But basically what determines, like the single strongest factor that determines your success later in life and your level of wealth and stuff, is the capital that you were with.
Yeah.
So
the different
your parents
kinds of
and your
Woodyear's capital.
Well, yeah.
The cultural capital, the social capital, the networks they have.
The
I mean, that is very important.
The resources,
here. So, yeah, when they,
everything.
When we look at the parents' generation and at the parents' level, then you see it a lot with, oh, we are from the same high school. Can you introduce me to him? And then we have this politician friend of us who will then make us to become some minister. So
absolutely,
this is all.
Yeah. I also thought the whole kind of networking thing. I mean, the mothers are basically full-time
networkers,
managers,
and
networkers of their children's success. I mean, they do plans. They have to make sure they're healthy. They have to make sure to get their midnight snacks. I mean, I never got any study snacks, like, neatly arranged from my mom.
We had to cook it ourselves, I think. Also, my mom was working, so she could not.
How did we get into university?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess another difference also is that, at least like judging like from Germany, like our university system is not as stratified. So we don't have actually, in the end, it's not like, you know, if you look in our parliament that 80% of the people went to the same uni, that's not true. So like Germany has like much more diversified universities, and it doesn't matter actually too much in which university
you are. Or you've gone to Korea, basically, also in the US, I guess.
In the US and the UK.
The whole alumni networks are very strong, and yeah. Even for high schools. I mean, in the UK, I think it's also for the high schools, and yeah, it's like, in Korea too. For some prestigious high schools, they have like lifelong networks.
Yeah, I mean, in the UK, if you look at kind of
the prime ministers,
you have Eton, you have then obviously Oxford, Cambridge. So it's one straight line into Westminster, into the halls of power. And actually, if you've been to these places, they all basically look and feel the same. So Eton looks basically like a college and has these like quads, you know, of like very neat grass.
Lawn.
Yeah, exactly. And then if you go to Oxford and Cambridge, it's the same thing. You have these old halls and these quads with like very neat lawns of grass and so on.
Well,
and
these are ideal elite universities.
But if you go into Westminster, it looks the same. And then if you look at who graduated from what universities, like the percentage of MPs who went to Oxford and Cambridge,
it's
like 60% or 70-80%, like a lot of people basically.
Yeah, in Korea there is this law school. Not so much medical school, but I think law school and then politician career that is very common. And then one specific law school and not. Yeah.
Yeah, so the one of the characters in the show as well, Professor Cha.
Yeah, right. He's
also tried
was to... law school prosecutor politician. He was a politician, apparently.
Apparently he was, but then he
dropped out of happened. The... Right.
He didn't make it to the top of the pyramid. Oh, my God, that pyramid. Honestly, let's just talk a bit about that family, please.
Right. Yeah, but this family was quite interesting, I think.
I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah, more than the main family. The mother is highly educated, the father... Both are educated, but mother gave up her career.
Yes.
So her name is in the drama Sung-hae.
And the father, he was from a poor background and worked hard.
Professor Cha.
He worked really hard. I mean, he's got so much anger in him. He doesn't know how to express it.
true.
And apparently
there are some moments when he shows his affection to his daughter in the beginning.
before
it turns out that she faked her admittance to Harvard.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, basically, already the in the first episode when this couple is introduced, you very much feel the tension of him reprimanding his wife of not being a step ahead, and like you already kind of get the feeling of like sends a bit chills down my spine, like this kind of very abusive relationship between him and her, and it's all about
I mean, although the patriarchy is quite I think that she still has a very strong role in the whole family.
I mean, if you look at the I think towards the end. So it's like a development. She evolves.
She becomes more independent. But even in the beginning, I think she does not see herself as a subordinate to her husband that much. Although she follows him with the education.
I don't know. Like in the first episodes, I must disagree. Because I think in the first episodes, I could really feel, or like I saw her as someone who's really kind of afraid almost of her husband and his kind of temper and the way he talks to her. And, she, you know, she keeps it kind of all in a way, and she, you know, follows his
maybe
orders.
I was already looking, you know, more from the back.
She goes to this bank meeting, and then she texts him all the time what's happening, and then she listens to what he says and like really tries to...
Yeah, but I forgot about that.
Yeah, but then definitely she's kind of gradually kind of becoming more independent, especially I think since Suim, is her name, the mother of kind of moves there and they bond and become friends, then she kind of also starts rebelling
against her husband. Yeah. She encourages her to be more independent, actually.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think it's very strong. Like, what I didn't expect is that, you know, you have kind of this back and forth. And then in one episode, I thought that was really extreme, where I was really afraid for the boys and the mother that he might hit them or whatever.
Oh, really? Which episode was it?
I think it was the episode. So there was this episode where the study room was shown that he created for his children. And then the way he talks with one of his sons who wasn't as quick as the other in solving this math problem in this soundproof room where he sits in the back.
Which is all black. Also.
It's all black. And then you have, and he locks the door and the mother stands in front of the door and looks like she's about to cry and like call the police. And I was like, oh my God, what is this? It looks like a torture dungeon.
I didn't see it as that problematic because the father kind of seems, I don't know, not so scary to me.
Really? Maybe. Very scary. And especially, I mean, later on, he becomes more kind of the funny character, right?
Yeah.
But at that point, I didn't find it so funny. And especially, like, then he really takes this pyramid and, like, takes his son and, like, puts his face and becomes the pyramid. And it's almost, I was afraid he's going to smash his eye into the fucking pyramid. I was like so tense. I was like, oh God, get out of there. What the hell?
Okay, I didn't see it like that. I just thought, okay, he is focused on the children. So.
And the other moment where I was afraid for her was when she took the decision to remodel the study room and like get rid of all the like soundproofing and stuff by herself. And then when he sits there and says, bring me the scissors, and I was like, oh my God, he's gonna kill her. What? That was terrible.
He cuts her card, her credit cards with it. he could have done much more with the scissors. That's true, yeah.
But also that, I think that was such an abusive move. It's like, I mean, that is literally what keeps women into very abusive relationships, is this economic dependence. And there
she reacts in a very typical way as well with the not cooking. This is some kind of typical revolt in, like, women's movements, as far as I know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, obviously,
she sides with the kids, and they are on her side more, and then
But that's also why I thought her character was so like interesting and really surprising as well, because it was set up as she was kind of the submissive kind of suffering housewife under her very abusive, like emotionally abusive. At least.
But then on the other hand,
really kind of comes out.
We learn that she has a high education and her father was a politician and stuff. So I never saw her as like not the equal of the husband in that sense from her like social capital.
Not from the social
capital. Because much more in Han Sojin and her husband's family, this kind of relationship, the background is quite different, and Han Sojin is much more dependent on her husband in that sense, although she has a more independent character.
Way more independent. I mean, she's like out there. She's like, I don't know, doing her thing. I would never worry about Han Sojin.
But her character doesn't change that much over, even though her background is revealed and all that. She's still very, like, it's not intriguing.
Spinning. I guess she's very, I mean, the whole show has something with like kind of being two-faced, right? Like also everyone lies and everyone has this face they present to others, but then deep down they have all these other kind of things going on.
True. And
experiences in their past that they don't want to reveal, and like,
Except for the family of Tin Tin and
they
are more the funny family.
They're the funny, honest, following family.
How do you call it? Trittbrettfahrer.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anyways, the husband definitely with Kang.
Kang Jong-sang. He follows Kang Jong-sang, who is his superior and also older brother.
Yeah. I mean, that's also something I found very interesting, how the children then become these, they become part of the parents' conflicts. So, for example, Kang Jong-sun has a conflict at work with the father of Uju. And then he uses his daughter and Uju's rivalry and like whoever has better grades or like whatever.
I think, that's a bit extreme with the like who has better grades, but I think comparison between the children is quite common. There's this term in Korea called omchin a and omchin dal, which is like mom's friend's daughter or mom's friend's son. And then it is very common trope apparently of Korean mothers to say, "Oh, my friend's son, he is so good, like good in school, and he's so to compare the children and to say that you have to work harder." And
oh my god, yeah.
But again, I think comparison between the children, especially because in these mother groups of mothers, like the they are called hakpumo and the school mom association. I don't know how to call it, but they have some associations usually where all the moms meet up,
and like then there's PDA a lot of, or something like that.
Maybe just for the moms
just also. For the moms, of course. So let's talk a bit more about the coordinator.
I
found it really interesting how she explains that, you know, like because her justification of how she acts and how she, you know, how she behaves is that, well, I'm just a tool and the parents choose me, and basically the greed of the parents is so much bigger than them kind of actually caring about the children. So obviously she takes this as some kind of twisted justification to fuck up their family lives and lives in general. But I do think it's interesting, like these kind of power relations, how she says, well, if you kind of, they kind of give us their children and then have absolute power over them, because all they want is get them into uni, into that specific uni. And if you know that and if you do that, then you can do anything.
True.
To them or with them, they don't.
I think she is very aware of her own power in that whole process of private education, and I mean, she has this acceptance rate of 100% something that makes her a very powerful player in the whole system. And even though, she is very happy when then even the grandmother and all these high people kind of bow to her and say, like, please take good care of my granddaughter, please take good care of our child. And then she is actually the one in power. And we can see it from her, the way she lives and all that. She has all these same cars, basically. I mean, it's sponsored cars, obviously.
Yeah.
And she has a very cool apartment also in downtown Seoul. So.
Yeah, definitely. But I don't know. I found her... She was definitely a very interesting character. I think also, obviously, all very well played. I mean, most of the actors, I thought, had performances as well.
I really liked Han So-jin and also Kim Ji-young's actors.
I really thought she was... I mean, you get a bit of her backstory to explain why she is the way she is. I didn't really see it necessarily like that was such a good explanation. Also, I think obviously it's very problematic the way she kind of portrays her daughter after the accident. Well, she dies for me because she's not smart anymore. But maybe that's an illustration of this whole,
I'm not really sure about her family background story, what that has really to do with the drama. I don't know. Maybe it just should show that she's some crazy person or something.
Really saw that the drama tried to portray it as a justification of why she is the way she is.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
well, that
for
Hans,
for these other people, but not as like a very convincing explanation for the viewers. Yeah,
I don't. Well, I think it was meant as a convincing explanation, but I don't think it was actually very convincing.
Not for us.
Not for us.
On K-drama.
Not for us. Not very convincing. I mean, it is very harsh and very extreme to just abandon your child because it's not as smart anymore.
I think that just underlines her character, her cruelty and.
But I think that brings me to a theme that I also really thought about is this whole thing of mothers giving up their whole life for the children. So then the children become means of existing or proving your worth or, your success. So if your child is not a success, if your child fails and is unsuccessful, then basically your life has been unsuccessful
because you
have given up everything for that, right? And I thought it was really interesting in the end when Ye Bin, when the grandmother walks in and says, oh my God, like she has to become a doctor, And then Ye Bin says, well, if you want to become a doctor so much, why didn't you become a doctor yourself? And I was like, yes. Why don't just the mothers live the lives they want to live and let the children live the life they want to live? And nobody has to live the life for someone else.
Yeah. And that is very true for the mothers and the Sky Castle. Yeah. But for the coordinator, I think she already had a career as a. Wasn't it said that she was a math professor or something, or like she was
I thought was the interesting, so she was apparently the best in her year in maths, and then there was this other lady in the same in her year who's also really good, who was
and
I
she
guess,
became
her rival.
Then
she became the Fields Medal and so on, and I think it might have been because the coordinator got this child, so possibly she couldn't continue working as a mathematician. And then her child had to become this genius.
So she was really portraying the career on. Oh yeah, true. I mean, for the other characters, I don't really know, but it's very common in Korean middle class that the women give up their job, even though they have a high education. Still, until now, very common.
Yeah,
I mean, the drama shows like the situation of like 10 years ago, where little children are like 18 now, so that is like some years ago. But even now, the mothers would give up their job most of the time because that is the whole system in Korea with
but also
no kindergarten and stuff. I mean, we have the social.
We have some of them, but Germany is still very conservative, or like Switzerland, even more so. I mean, it's really hard to actually get part-time jobs or, reduce work so that you're able, that both parents are equally able to somehow maintain their careers whilst having a family. Often, I feel also in Germany, still one parent has to or commits to... like maybe not completely giving up their career, but definitely stepping down from what they could have achieved. More often that is the woman still also here.
In Germany as well. But then if you look at the birth rate in Korea, it's the lowest in the world.
Is it? I didn't know
there's
that.
A reason for that, I think. I mean, one reason that I actually learned in one of my society classes was that the resources of... it is very expensive to raise a child. with the private education and all that. So the resources are all focused on one child only. Then they they would only have one child and raise that child as like the perfect one. And then the pressure also increases much. Yeah.
Oh my God.
But then the other reason is that the women have to sacrifice so much and then they don't want to have children anymore.
Well, yes, I can understand that. Definitely. Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was it's true also like in the drama, like nobody has more than two children. Mm. No, they actually have, the Cha family has three children actually.
Oh yeah, true.
The daughter and then the twins.
Yes, 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 yes.
But then I guess you can't really plan without twins.
Twins, yes. Yeah. But if you think about it, like financially, sending your daughter abroad, education at Harvard, then private education for twins, plus later university, that is like really expensive. Yeah.
Really, really.
I mean, they can afford it, obviously. But if you look at other families, I heard that mostly the grandparents' generation has to be rich too. Like otherwise, they can't afford the whole higher education. That is the same here with the grandmother, right? Then she just gives the money for the coordinator as if it's like nothing, basically. So you need the funds of like the whole generation.
Family too. Like you have to go abroad for at least a year or something, and
for
then,
English and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, like the US or
yeah, England. Really, really
a bit more exotic than England. Because also, didn't like Sung here, her mom say, "Well, I actually feel bad for having sent her abroad when she was only 13, but I had to make sure that the twins were taken care of and I had to concentrate on them so they got." So I also wondered whether that had something to do with the gender. So
because you know, she was the woman.
She was just the girl.
Female girl.
And it's more important that the boys get all the attention.
I don't know. I think. Maybe. But I think even the girls receive a very high education, but
oh no, I mean definitely in this drama.
Korean society. Yeah. Actually, at the moment, the best university in Seoul has more female students, as far as I know. Maybe it's the same also in Germany, too.
Yeah.
It's kind of shifting.
Wasn't there like this scandal in Japan with this also very prestigious, I think, was it also even a medical, a med school?
Yeah, maybe, yeah, Tokyo.
So too few men were good enough to make the exam.
Yeah,
so
I think so.
They kind of reduced the,
I heard about
like
it.
Artificially reduced the number of girls because it couldn't be that so many women would be in this university.
Right, yeah. Especially
that was
for
a big scandal.
I heard it's the same too, though, in Germany with medicine and psychology or these NC subjects where you need a good Abitur and then many boys cannot achieve that. Or so.
Oh, but they don't regulate that, do they?
No, they would not know. I don't think so.
Oh my God. Well.
But even Korea, I mean, it is very extreme, but if you... In the drama, obviously, and then Henna is one example where she gets a scholarship from the school to attend this private high school. And then, especially for the Seoul National University has a lot of scholarships too. So there are some chances, even if you're from a poor family background, that you
chances.
Can attend. You can attend the schools there.
But it's way harder, probably.
I suppose, yeah.
To get one of those. We still have so much to talk about. I'm like,
we didn't talk much about the characters. But on the internet, I don't know, because there were so many characters, it's difficult to
say
much about it. And then even the main characters like Yeso, they had not really a strong character development in that sense.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the protagonist was Han So-jin, the mom. I mean...
Yeah.
It was all about her struggle, right? And then her struggle in the end to do the right thing, to not let the innocent boy rot in prison so your daughter can go to medical school.
About Hansotin, maybe. Yeah. I think
that was quite extreme.
Actually, I admired Hansotin quite a lot. I mean, she always had these very cool dresses and high heels and all that. And she comes from her, like, what was it, Land Rover, and she like has her SUV and always like very confident with everything.
She's strong, she's a very strong character.
Even in the comparison with Kim Soo Young in the beginning, then she slaps her or like she drives her car like right in front.
I'll rip your jaw open. That was this vulgar thing she always said. It was like her. I'll rip your jaw open. It said in the subtitles.
That was her poor background speaking there, I think.
Yeah, she said that several times.
Yeah. And that's how also the other person recognized her, right? Uju's mom.
What was her name? Really, Kwang Mi Young.
From this curse she could recognize.
Yeah, for me Han Soo-jin is this kind of really, you know, lonely fighter that kind of
staked
is
her
unconditionally committed
for their
to her
sake
daughter.
Of the children and all.
She's very committed
sacrifices.
To her. I think mainly I do think there is definitely like this imbalance between Yeso and Yebin. She clearly
favors Yeso. True.
In front of Yebin, which Yebin struggles with, clearly.
But Yebin is still very young.
She's one of my favorite characters in the show.
Oh, really?
I think she's so cool. Yeah, she's very she's very independent.
Anti-education system.
She does her own thing. Yeah.
Yeah, they could have portrayed her more as the anti, and rather than Uju. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, Uju was a bit boring.
He was a bit weak. Yeah, weaker character. Or he didn't get that much time also, and he was too nice, I think.
Yeah, there was not much. Well, to none
not
of those
so much
characters,
screen time.
There was not a lot of edge to any of those characters. Honestly, when like
the,
low
the
point
mothers
for me,
were in the center. Like,
a low point for me was when he was sitting in prison crying, saying, I'm being punished for having been a bad son. Like, what? That was really, really like,
random. He's such a good like son that you can't really emphasize him anymore. I don't know.
He's a goody two shoes.
It's too plain. With the mother, on the other hand, then I could rather emphasize with her more. I don't know. I mean, she comes to this Sky Castle as the outsider, so to say, and with a different background. But still, I mean, they still must be kind of rich, but we don't know about that exactly.
Well, they must because he's a... although he's not from Seoul National University he's still a doctor in a hospital.
In the same hospital. Yeah, he must have. Yeah. So I guess she's more like the anti-system fighter. I don't know if she is she really though like actively fighting it, or is she rather just not participating in it? That's also a bit of difference, right? She in the beginning, she just more like, I don't really care what he does in like, his private time. And it's not like I don't want him to take private lessons or so. That's more like...
Definitely. I mean, the one thing where she fights in that sense is in abolishing the book club.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Which I also would have done because, I mean, that was just the drag. I think nobody actually enjoyed it except for the... You know, Professor Cha, who
that was from her outsider role that she could do that actually. But with like the whole education system, I don't know. I mean, she's quite different from the other mothers, that's for sure. But
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really get her story. Like, so basically she was, her parents had an orphanage where she was living with Han So-jin, right?
That was just in the same town, I think. Yeah, Han So-jin was in the same school.
And they went to school together. Mm. And then
she became a teacher. Yeah, she became a teacher, but she did not finish it because of this incident. And then...
And she met her husband also in the orphanage.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she wrote one book.
One child novel.
One child.
Well, we don't know what she did after that. Yeah, actually, that's a bit open.
Then she planted plants. Right. She was gardening.
She was cooking some ox blood soup.
Ox blood soup. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and especially because she's not such a full-time mom as in the other moms are. She probably had a lot of free time.
She must have had a lot of time, yeah. What did she do?
What did she do? Probably moralized about
reading, reading and a lot.
She read a lot. Mm, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I also thought this book club was ridiculous.
What I read later in the review of the drama was, though, that they call her the left-wing rich.
The left-wing rich mom.
I found it a bit misleading, though, because she's clearly not rich, and then also she is not that really left-wing or anything. I don't know. She's just like anti-system somehow.
A bit, yeah.
And alternative somehow, and with the plans and all that. She's not so much into high society bourgeois
stuff, definitely not. Not so, no. She doesn't really care about these things so much.
Yeah, what, like politeness or what faking your image and all that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she's
But that doesn't really make her a left-wing, though. I don't know where this comes from.
I thought, she's more like normcore, but probably for European normcore.
Yeah.
European normcore mom.
Well, maybe for Korea, she's already kind of left-wing with that attitude.
Yeah, probably, I guess. I don't know. Yeah,
well, the father was a very positive character too, like Uju himself.
I mean, they were all three these kind of this happy family where they actually communicate. They talk about their feelings.
Yeah. That is not common in Korean. Right.
And I mean, that's also a big kind
of... Father is very involved in family life.
Father's very involved. They all kind of cook together and like do the housework together and stuff. Yeah,
they have no servants. Yeah, actually, that is interesting. I mean, in the household of Han So-jin, there was this maid or servant.
Living maid, yeah.
That was a very weird role, I think. Her whole role in the play, I don't know.
Yeah.
She was she did not have any own...
Why was she there?
Just to prepare the food and all that, but
and I mean, I just remember how Han So-jin was like hoovering while thinking, then she just comes running.
She just runs.
I already hoovered. What? I was like, okay, chill out. If she wants to hoover, let her hoover.
Well, but the other families did not have apparently they did not have any we don't know. We should talk in one later episode about housemaids, though, because
housemaids.
In the heirs in this drama, they have a housemaid living there with the son, and then they fall in love, something. But
that was also in this drama.
In this
right?
drama too, a little bit like too. That. Yeah, that's why.
Oh yeah, should we talk about also very violent fathers who think they're only... I think it really also, this drama showed very much this... Well, it really, I think, criticized a lot this patriarchal idea of the father's...
Patriarchal.
The father's only role is to bring in the money and you know, you don't have to be emotionally involved in your child's life. Mm. You're just there to bring the money and to be the head of the household and, you know, hit the, you know, fist on the table if something's going wrong. I mean, which this professor dude does by getting
a gun. He is quite involved, though, in the whole education. That is, they are the other fathers. Professor Chang.
Professor Chang, yeah. Definitely, I was talking about Professor Park, so the father of Yongjae.
The father of Yongjae. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really interesting in the drama because in the beginning, the setup is, oh, there's Sky Castle and there all these perfect families live there. They're all so rich, so smart, they all look so good. And then this family of this Yongjae and his mom and the professor, they're portrayed as super happy. He just got into med school, everything's perfect. Mm. And then they really break it down by like showing these... You know,
all the background.
The mom killing herself is the beginning.
Yeah.
But then obviously the conflict that was and one
of even from Han Seo-jin in the beginning, very much in the beginning, we see that there is conflict with her and her husband and all. But we still don't know all the background. Yeah, that's true. That's true, yeah.
Yeah. And then you especially know,
when they say, oh, please keep everything secret here. This is our high society meeting and stuff.
And you really get this idea of this
secluded.
And you kind of present this perfect image. The most important thing is to present this perfect image and everything else you deal with behind closed doors. And
then golfing together in the private.
I mean, and then... Yeah, and I thought what I found interesting was the struggle of Yongjae, who he was basically quite abused by his parents into studying like crazy, right? As being the only thing he was allowed to do. I mean, we're talking here about sleep deprivation, food deprivation.
Even in the other families too, yeah. Even in
all those families.
More liberal family. Like
it's very extreme. And then it seemed the only solace he found was in that the daughter of the maid who lived there and also worked there. And then they kicked her out. And then he had a breakdown and had to get therapy. And also therapy is portrayed as this...
Very negative. You know,
bad thing. Like, oh my God, he went to therapy for a year. That's... Oh, no. Like, you know, I think they all should get therapy.
Many people should, actually.
The father of Yongjae reacts to his nervous breakdown. I mean, he's having a nervous breakdown, right, after all this conflict. Mm. And the only thing the father thinks to do is
coming
get
his gun
and like, point it at his son, telling him to kneel in front of him. I'm like, oh my God, like, there's so many issues. You should really, you need so much therapy. Family therapy, individual therapy, all the therapy for you, Dr. Park.
But then Kim Ji-young basically made that therapy happening.
Oh my God. But I do agree with her that while obviously she kind of found
the problems
bias,
come from the family.
So if the family would have had a healthy communication line in place, and was trust and caring, then no coordinator could have done what she has done.
Yeah. Well, with her meditation thing, it's a bit weird though, but apart from that.
But then if I would have been in there meditating, and if she would have just touched me like that and then be like, ooh, I'm like, what are you trying to do, lady? You're up to no good. She was so, I mean, she had these evil vibes clearly coming off her. But then obviously, I mean, those are children. I'm not a child anymore.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think if you're in the, this was a bit too much though, even.
Bring her in the meditation room. She gets 10 sessions every day of brainwashing. Indoctrination.
This is one of the famous lines of Sky Castle, actually. Bring her to the meditation room or bring her home or something.
God. Yeah. I mean, she's intense, that lady. Very intense. She brings a lot of people to her knees.
Mm. Yeah, all these schemes with Henna and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Shall we talk a bit about Henna? We haven't really talked about
her. I really didn't like her character, though. I don't know.
I got a vibe you didn't like her. Just because she was poor. You disappoint me.
Not because she was poor, but just it was all very pathetic and
you're talking about dead person.
Not because of the, no, but when she was like, okay, here's a picture of my parents going to Sojedo, and then I will call my father now, and then I have to move into the house, and it's all very like, okay, what are you trying to prove here, or what is your, you're already top of the class, and why do you need to go through all of that? And I don't know. If she was such a rounded character, like taking care of her mother and all that, then she wouldn't have had to do that, like with the
whole... We can't all be Utu, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
Some people have I don't know. I actually like
what
that
really
she was... I actually liked that she was a bit of a badass and was
but
like,
what does
you know,
she
what
did she want? What did she
fuck
want?
All of you. Well,
did she really want to be in the family register or whatever that was? Like her goal?
I mean, I don't know if we want to talk about like her motivation of why she wanted. I mean, I can see why there is this feeling of resentment and
against Yeso, yeah, but not against the
against Yeso family. And. I mean, I kind of saw it as also the system. Like, she really had a... I mean, she really saw what was going on with the unfair competition
that's true.
So I also saw it a bit of, like, she really wanted to... do, that was her big...
Make a more just world.
And it was a bit... Yeah, and I think there was also a lot of resentment from that and, like, kind of anger that, you know, she is... Mm. Doing all these things, like taking care of her ill mom, like studying very hard, and like it's still not like enough. And then it turns out that she has this father, and her biggest rival is actually her half sister, who grew up like having everything in her life.
Her life is a bit a mess, I would say.
And you know, she's basically practically an orphan, and then she sees this her father. Obviously, he doesn't know that. Her mom died and he didn't know that he actually had her, whatever. That's, again, also something that I would have been angry with my mom. So if I would have been her, like...
Why didn't you blame the mom so much? Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Why didn't you just tell him? Like, why didn't you sort this out for me?
Why not
why do
tell
I
him?
Have to sort
why
this
not
out?
Tell the daughter? Yeah, why didn't she... Why did she keep it a secret all the time?
Yeah, and especially when she got so ill that she didn't...
Maybe the mother
that she only... Well, the mother only in the last, on her last, basically on her dying bed, when she wrote him, oh, by the way, you have a daughter.
And she calls him as if that would have changed anything.
Yeah, so if I would have been the mother, like at least, like soon, like at least the latest when you find out you have cancer or whatever, then you would go and try and sort out the stuff for your daughter,
But
it was more like the daughter having to take care of everything. So, yeah. So I think that was
her
a bit
role
of a,
was not ideal. That's true. Yeah.
I think, yeah, so that's what annoyed me a bit of about the mom. Like, I could have just told him.
Yeah, it's not all the fault of Yesov's family, actually, if you think about it, yeah. Because even if they... pressured the mom to keep it a secret or to get an abortion or whatever, then she could have legally, I mean, the father is the father, and then she could have fought for it somehow. Yeah.
And it also seems that actually he wasn't, I got the impression that he actually still cared. So he actually really like,
for the
loved
woman.
Her mom.
For the mom.
Once he found out that Hina was his daughter, he actually also really cared about her and that, and really was very emotional and like
after
regretted a lot after she died. After he didn't
easy.
Save her for his career. Of course. But so I thought, but I actually like that Hina was this this little basically school girl who goes up to all these moms.
That's
and
true. Yeah, that was a cool.
Gives a
that was
big,
a cool
big, big like, I really don't give a fuck about all of you and your games, and just plays them. You know, I think
get the money from them and all that. Yeah, yeah, that was cool. Yeah.
So I did like that, but then I didn't
it was a
like,
bit too much later when yeah. she.
It was
tried
too malicious.
To, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm. Mm. That's also. Mm. That's
if she wanted to reveal it, then she should have just revealed it, or not do all this like scheming behind the back of the school. Or,
yeah,
just go to the school and yeah.
Yeah, I think that's also that's what I where I can see why you didn't like her, because that's when she was kind of evil, also against other people, like being mean or something.
Uju,
too scheming. Yeah, yeah.
She was using Uju and other people too.
I thought also that was a bit too much, maybe.
What was well done from like dramaturgical when she went back to the house by herself, and then she was imagining how she would have been part of the family with this like light coming, and then she's sitting and talking with the dad and
whilst
being...
eating the apple.
Oh yeah, while eating apple. True. That was okay. Then you could really emphasize with her somehow. Yeah,
I like that too. Also, then when she went up and like watched that video of years or when she was a child, or like you know, Christmas, like very kind of
yeah, life. Yeah. I mean, these memories she must have missed out for just without a dad and true.
And I must say, like, also from a dramaturgical, do you say that in English?
I don't know.
Like, in terms of plot, I also really, like, I actually cried when she was not saved and when she died in the hospital.
In the hospital.
That was
what
so
I found a bit unrealistic, though. I mean, these were orthopedics doctors, and why did they have to perform a brain surgery on her or whatever? That was really random. Like, why are they the doctors in charge there?
Yeah, I didn't really get that. I mean, in the in the English subtitles, like, the dad of Uju is a neurosurgeon.
Was a nerve, neurosurgeon.
But he, Kang,
but for nerves, I thought it was more for the back end and stuff like that.
Ah. No? Maybe, like, in the subtitles, it just said neurosurgeon.
Yeah, maybe he has something to do with
but
brain
I don't know, yeah.
Surgery.
But I did think about it, that when Kang Jun-sang just, like, walks by in his, like, gear to go into operation room, it's like, so an orthopedic doctor is now going to operate on a brain.
True.
Don't know about that. But it is super dramatic how she like lies there, and so this one tear goes down her
eye,
and then
that's
she says, and then he just looks at her and walks away, and you're like, oh my god! And Hanseo-jun
just stands behind him,
and you're like, oh my god, how badly do you want to get your daughter into med school?
Yeah, that was all justified by Yeso and her achievements.
Extreme. And I also thought it was really interesting when after the death, it was made so that the viewer would actually suspect Yeso at first.
I think you would because she was had this fight and then all that with her. Then if you think about it, Yeso couldn't be that evil.
No. Although you can never underestimate children.
Maybe.
And especially like teenies.
And then with this love triangle and all that,
there's a lot of emotion. And especially if then you have this evil coordinator putting like indoctrinating you in a meditation room. And, I mean, she really riled her up against Hyena, right?
Mm.
Like saying she's so much
amazing. I don't know though. What was the real plan with all that? Like, get her into the house and stuff. Like, was that really to destroy the father and mother? And the...
Well, that's the one thing I didn't get actually about the coordinators. Like, when she said, well, my only job is to get them into Seoul National University Med School. That is my job. And I'd do anything that's necessary for you for that. But then Yeah, I wonder whether this destroying of families actually was necessary.
Or to get her in.
Yeah, so whether she, why did she... Yes, I didn't. And especially if it when it comes out that she actually stole the exam questions.
Yeah, that was.
Why do you
dangerous.
Need any of that?
True.
You could just leave all the drama out and just give them the questions.
Just kill her like previously. Then, if she was already planning to kill Hannah, then she could have done that earlier.
Or she could have. She could have gotten her expelled or something.
Oh,
why,
yeah.
Why kill her?
Because of this other scandal, or like send her abroad or to another school.
Yeah.
With her power, she could do anything.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, who would believe Kiana over any one of these other people?
Probably.
I mean, she's a poor orphan who, I don't know.
Well, with the other mothers, you don't know. If they want to take revenge on Yeso or something like that.
Possibly, yeah. You can never underestimate those. Yeah, but it's very intense. It's a very intense drama. I did like it. And I really liked the music as well.
Oh, yeah. This,
such a good song.
Actually, funny story that I was in a completely unrelated theater play once in Seoul, and then in one scene, it was more like an amateur theater,
yeah.
But then in one scene, they were playing this music from Sky Castle.
Really?
And everyone laughed because it was such an unrelated scene. I think it was on purpose to get some.
Yeah, it must be, right?
Yeah, and everyone knew, oh, this is the Sky Castle, we are lie, or whatever. The lyrics are a bit weird. But...
We all lie. The truth. God. But it's such a good song. And I also really like the intro, you know, when you just see their faces with
the black background, and then you just see
the light kind of shifting, and they look the same, but the shadows give them all different faces. There was a lot of handheld camera, I noticed, which often is used.
Yeah, in the view, like for the father's face or something like that. Yeah.
A lot of and that's usually often done to be closer to the, you know, person you portray. Bit more in touch with the emotions, kind of. And then there was a lot of shots in mirrors, so you saw three faces or two faces.
Oh, really? I did not notice that.
So there was all the many faces again here as a theme. And I noticed, there was a lot of shots of when there were discussions of hands.
Ah, yeah, I noticed that too.
A lot of hands.
That was a thing that I noticed. And in one, they did it very extreme. Then I noticed, why are they showing the hands again? And what does
it
mean?
I think that was a bit overly.
Does it like this? And if it does it like that?
I think it was a bit overly used at that point. If you notice, then it's a
bit
too
much. It is one cafe or what? Yeah, they were arguing and then suddenly they showed the hands. It was a bit unrelated though.
This is already the end of our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. If so, please leave us a comment or write us on Facebook or Twitter or via our email address, kdramafeuilleton@gmail.com. We are always happy to hear from our listeners, so from you, basically, be it suggestions of dramas to review or critique, of course, praise, or just wanting to say hello and have a chat about the latest goss that's going on in K-drama world. We always, always appreciate your time and opinions. Now go back to watching your dramas. Stay critical, as always. And we cannot wait to see you for our next episode. Goodbye. Annyeong.